This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the first time in 336 days, we bring you a post-game podcast covering a Penn State win. We're happy to do that. It's Tyler Donahue, Sean Fitz. Hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. Emerged from a bit of a food coma to cover this one today. I am on a remote location in New England right now, so if I'm coming to you a little bit differently from a different speaker, that explains that. Sean in home base in State College, Mark Brennan out on the road for us at Michigan collaboratively. We had all the coverage for you up on Lines 24/7, and as always, we break things down here on the podcast afterward. Sean, it's kind of remarkable of all wins to go and get. It's the first win that James Franklin has gone and gotten in Ann Arbor with the Penn State Nittany Lions. And yet a lot of people are going to sneeze at this one and say, oh, you beat a bad Michigan team. They beat a team today. They have a win. Let's ignore the loss column for the moment and just realize that Penn State put one in that win column, and boy, did they need one. Michael Mennett, starting center, two-time team captain, year five with Penn State, went so far as to call this a top five win for Penn State in his career, considering the circumstances that have led up to it.
First of all, I'm most impressed by you going with the I'm in New England on holiday type thing when you just are camped out at the in-laws' house. So kudos to you for that. But I mean, just everybody feels better. You know, it's kind of that weight off your chest. It's that, you know, Michael Mennett said top five win. You know, we can, you know, obviously not discuss this for where he's been, you know, over his career. But man, it's just, it feels so much better for everybody. I'm sure our listens will be up because, you know, anytime you win, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to complain about for this season, and that's not getting, you know, that's put in one pile. Then you've got Michigan. They're terrible. I mean, let's be honest. That's in another pile, but we're not going to harp on that because a win is big for everybody. A win is big, you know, for you and I to talk about this stuff. We kind of get repetitive sometimes when we go back into what we've covered over the last several weeks. It's big for James Franklin. You saw that in the post-game press conference. Very, I mean, the sense of relief, let's be honest here, and he should be relieved to get on the board, a 27-17 win. But it's just good for everybody for a win coming off Thanksgiving. And I know this is not the season anybody envisioned, but to go out to Michigan, it's so funny because you talk about these hypotheticals and you say, okay, well, if Penn State has a bad year, but they beat Ohio State or they beat Michigan or whatever, and that's one thing, and none of them ever really come to fruition. This one kind of came together, and it always feels good for Penn State to beat Michigan if you're a Penn State fan. It always feels good to get on the road and to win a big game like this, and even if it's not how you drew it up, everybody's got to feel good about this.
Going into October and into late October, this was really viewed as the game that, you know, are you going 7-2? Are you going 8-1 for this team? And this was kind of that game where you said it could define where they're at the end of the year. Did not work out that way. We all know the story. You've heard the last five post-game podcasts, and things have gone in a different direction. But, you know, you are playing against a program that you are competing against for recruits. Let's always remember recruiting is in the backdrop of when we examine program trajectory and where it's going and which direction. You're measuring that up against Michigan on some cases because you are dealing with a collection of recruits from a region and at a national level as well. And I don't know what this means for the Wolverines there in Ann Arbor. Very frustrated fan base. I think folks who listen to Zach Shaw on our pregame podcast going into this matchup know full well that there were some parallels to draw. The one big difference was that Harbaugh is going up to his last year in his contract next year. James Franklin just got underway with a new contract. James Franklin has a little bit more goodwill stashed over recent years with the 11-win campaigns. Michigan seemed to plateau a few years ago and has not been able to turn the corner. This is a dagger. But to me, the story is going to nationally be Michigan losing a game that a lot of people thought they would win. People thought maybe a rally was going to come. Here locally, it was the tone of the voice from the players that we heard after the game. It was the tone of the voice, the energy that was coming from James Franklin. There was a sense of optimism that really, going back to Halloween, it's been non-existent on a lot of these conference calls and a lot of these post-game calls. And the line of questioning is quite a bit different after wins. I kind of forgot about that. But you just hear, whether it's PJ Mustipher, Michael Bennett, Sean Clifford, who we'll get to in a moment, there has been a weight lifted off their shoulders. I don't think anyone is going to be proud of being 1-5, but as they would say, they're proud of being 1-0 this week, and they haven't gotten to that point in a very long time.
Well, I think you nailed it, because the story coming out of this game wasn't going to be who won the game. It was going to be who lost and what the, you know, what the tailspin looks like on the other side of that. And of course, Michigan's still above Penn State in the standings. They have those two wins. But at the same time, you just looked out there, you know, that's on Michigan's home field. That's, you know, a game that they were favored. Saw some late money coming in on Penn State. But at the same time, to go out there and to win by 10, I mean, against a brand like Michigan, and you know, Penn State and Michigan are not very good this year. That's, you know, pretty obvious from watching the game and watching the entire season. But going out there, it's still a win over a hugely branded team like Michigan. So I think that avoiding the loss is, you know, perhaps as important, or if not more important, than getting the win today, because there's going to be a lot of stones thrown toward Jim Harbaugh and that program right now. And certainly that's not something that James Franklin wanted to see coming his way. Like we mentioned, a lot of relief in that locker room. It's overdue. I mean, let's be honest with you. And as we said, we're not going to harp on how bad Michigan was, because Michigan, you know, obviously couldn't get out of their way at times today. But at the end of the day, when you've got that win in the win column, I mean, that's so much more, you know, than what you could have, you know, going into Rutgers next week. And you see how hard Rutgers has played, and you were sort of struggling to wrap your mind around, okay, is Penn State going to go into Rutgers as an underdog, or as a game that they should lose? So now you sort of get off the schneid, you get this one off your plate, and all of a sudden, not that it's going to make the season any better or completely better or heal any wounds or anything like that, because you still got a lot of work to do, undoubtedly. But still, just getting in that direction and not being the loser in this game is the biggest win.
They, you know, they didn't have their normal Thanksgiving week set up, which can be said for teams across the country. They didn't see their parents. They go in a Friday. They don't have their Wi-Fi working right at the team hotel, from what we understand. These are all the kind of things that you think we're going to learn about after the game and then talk about contributing toward another letdown performance. But Sean, they led 33 minutes of this game. The final 33 minutes, I should say. They led for more than that, but they took that lead when Sean Clifford ran for a touchdown, 28-yard touchdown, I believe that was, in the second quarter, 14-7 advantage. A stat that you were double-checking in on, and I ended up kind of swooping in and taking from you on Twitter. The first
jinxed,
time
I jinxed you, or I jinxed Penn State by that. If you can tell the people that.
Well, it was the first time they had reached double digits. Of course, there was a missed field goal in between that, and Jordan Stout had a not-so-very bad day. We'll talk about that too a little bit later when we look at some issues that surfaced here. But you know, 14-7 at that point, and you just kind of don't have any benefit of the doubt that the Nittany Lions are going to make it easy on themselves. And it's not like they surged and put a lot of cushion between them and Michigan, but they came up with answers. They had long drives when they needed to produce them. They had some key stops when they needed it. Now, Michigan was down their quarterback, who they felt like gave them a spark, and Cade McNamara last week. Got hurt early in the game, went back to the locker room, checked back in, but you could see it over the course of his return. Just didn't have it. He was kind of dragging his shoulder around, and you put in Joe Milton, and you're kind of reminded of why Joe Milton was drawn to the sidelines in the first place last week. So quarterback situation there leaves a lot to be desired. That's a big problem for Jim Harbaugh. But going back to the guy who gave Penn State that lead in the second quarter, Sean Clifford, he was the guy that brought the first team offense onto the field. We anticipated that would probably be the case when Will Levis had the short leash against Iowa. Leaned toward Clifford over the course of this week. That wasn't a surprise. What was a surprise was he got to the finish line, and I was afraid I was going to jinx him because I referenced this in the third quarter. He got through all four quarters with a zero in the turnover column, and if anything felt like it was going to tip the scales one way or another, you were just waiting for a Sean Clifford turnover in the fourth quarter to swing momentum towards Michigan. He avoided that. We're going to talk about how some freshmen helped him do that. The ground game helped him do that. But you got to give credit to Sean Clifford. This is a kid that we have spent a lot of time on these post-game podcasts speaking of in a very different light. The numbers weren't gaudy today, but the zero is huge.
Yeah, and that's something that you can acknowledge on both ends, is because, you know, Penn State still has issues at quarterback. I mean, we've seen the entire season. We've seen the turnovers. That's not going to change in 1 week. But for him to go out there, turn it around, I think he deserves a ton of credit. And we've been very hard on Clifford throughout the season. And, you know, I think a lot of that deservedly so. But at the same time, he turned around. He had his most efficient day, 17 to 28, 163 yards. They didn't ask him to do too much, which is interesting because typically we see Penn State and everybody honestly try to go down the field on Michigan. Don Brown likes to play that man on the outside. You're trying to, force pass interference calls, things like that. He got it done in a different way. He went to Parker Washington 11 times. Washington caught 9 of those balls. Went to Jahan Dotson quite a bit. Wasn't as efficient in that manner. 9 targets. 3 catches for 30 yards, but Jahan Dotson made some big time catches for them. And also Isaac Lutz, you can't go without speaking about Isaac Lutz. 3 catches for 30 yards, obviously not how anybody drew it up, and including him, he was incredibly uncomfortable in the post game. He's not used to having cameras in his face and things like that. He ended when he was done, he let out a big thank God and got on the road. And I can see why. I mean, he's obviously, you know, that's not the story that he's been written into. But I think the biggest thing, you got to give credit to Clifford. You can also do that by acknowledging that they still have issues at quarterback. And that's something that will have to be addressed at the end. But he went out there, did what he had to do to win you that game, and that's a big win for them. Now, the big story to me here, and you wrote a story on this yesterday, you said Penn State could start 5 freshmen. You were right, for the most part. Penn State did start 5 freshmen. It wasn't the 5 that we had mapped out because they started a 2 tight end set, but Parker Washington, Kevon Lee, Caden Wallace, Theo Johnson, Brenton Strange all started on the offensive side of the ball. Joey Porter started on the defensive side of the ball as well. So you're seeing some sort of youth movement come through, and it started with some of those skill players.
You'd love for this youth movement to be like the shot in the arm that pushes you to another level for a postseason push here at this stage of the season. It's not that. It's more so, hey, this is what the near future is going to look like. Here's what Penn State's success is going to need to look like with these players on the field. Devin Ford, we knew that injuries were going to be an issue for him coming into the game. We didn't know what the injury was specifically, but he was pulled out early against Iowa, did not return in that matchup. It was a disaster for this team on the ground against the Hawkeyes last Saturday. Turns out, however, Devin Ford wasn't even with the program. I don't know if he would have been available medically or not, but a death in the family, heart goes out to Devin Ford for that. But he wasn't with the program. That meant you're down to your 4th string and 5th string options when we had this thing charted out. Remember when we thought we had this thing charted out back in mid-October and we thought we know how the season would go? These were your 4th and 5th string running backs in Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes. And Kevon Lee set the tone early, 3 consecutive game now in which he has scored a touchdown. But the rest of the way, he proved to be a player who could keep the chains moving, keep Michigan defenders flailing. Most importantly, as we got into the 4th quarter, a situation that Penn State hadn't really faced at any point this year, where you wanted to have that 5-6 minute long drive, and he was able to deliver 134 yards on the ground for this young man on 22 touches. You like that average. You like the way he runs. And James Franklin said it himself. Look, they have high hopes for these kids coming in as prospects, but he wasn't going to sit there and say they thought they'd get it this season. And Jaywan Sider, a couple weeks ago when we had him, he said unless it was going to be blowout city or some freak things happen ahead of these guys, they weren't supposed to be in this spot. Some freak things happened, Sean, and Kevon Lee maximized his moment today.
I thought he looked good. I mean, you look at what he did, 22 carries, 134 yards and a touchdown, and really grinded a bunch of that out. And really, Penn State's running game looked as efficient as it's been all season, right around the numbers. By the way, right around the numbers that they finished with against Indiana, against Nebraska, 2 other games that they had that kind of output on the ground. But more from the running backs this week. Lee did a good job. I thought Keziah Holmes did a good job as well. He didn't have the numbers, but he was solid. He got you some yards you probably didn't expect from him. You know, adds a little bit as a receiver as well. But Kevon Lee, really the story of this game, just kept giving him the ball. He did have the offside. He jumped offsides at one point, but, you know, gee, that's kind of negated by the fact that, you know, he had a heck of a day carrying the football. You asked him to finish, and you don't typically ask that of a true freshman, and he was able to come through and do that and held onto the football as well, which, you know, that's got to be the theme of this game for everybody is no turnovers, just incredible turnaround from what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
and negated on that play was a Will Levis moment on that fourth and one that ended up resulting in a missed Jordan Stout field goal, badly missed Jordan Stout field goal from 49 yards out. That was the fourth and one that Lee jumped off sides, but Will Levis will get his opportunities later. It converted a short yardage touchdown run. It converted, depending on your angle that you saw on your camera on TV, he converted a really important first down against Michigan late in the game that really sealed the deal. I was surprised that that one wasn't reviewed, but he got it done. He got involved a little bit. Sean Clifford was the guy, but Will Levis finished with 25 rushing yards. He had a couple important ones along the way. And then also, I would say Parker Washington. This is a kid who very quickly has become the number two guy, and he appears capable when called upon to step up and be that 1A, 1B with Jahan Dotson because of the attention that Jahan Dotson is now warranting from opposing defensive game plans. It was a lot of Washington early on. I think he was up to 8-9 targets in the second quarter, Sean. Ends up with 9 catches for 93 yards. I think you referenced that statistic already. But Dotson still found his moments. 3 catches, 30 yards, doesn't jump off the page like some of the other stat lines of late, but a couple really important third down conversions, Clifford to Dotson, and that's how you kind of draw it up if you're Kirk Ciarrocca.
Move the sticks. I mean, got them going, especially in the first drive, had that big catch and run. So he, pretty much everything that you asked of him. I think Penn State was shying away from Dax Hill, the outstanding safety for Michigan, and Dax had a really good pass breakup on Washington in the red zone later in the game. But I think that, you know, you couldn't have asked for much more out of that group right there. You know, Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, those guys, they're not going to show up on the stat sheet. And I'm, you know, encouraged to go back and check out this film and see how they looked in the run game because they were certainly a big part of that. And, you know, your boy Caden Wallace was certainly in there a bunch. So just looking all over the place, I think that's probably the page that you wanted to turn if you're a Penn State fan going into the next phase of the season or whatever it is. I mean, obviously, you're not going to win a Big Ten title. You're not going to get, you know, anywhere near where you thought you would be. But at the same time, you set up your younger players to succeed. You get them a little bit of taste of success, and then you can just continue to stumble over yourself, as I've done over the last two sentences. But then you continue to get where you need to be entering the offseason, you know, maybe get a ramp of momentum going in that direction.
Watching in live time, I felt like Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson were both assets to the ground game. I thought Theo Johnson, really just the physicality there for him, for a guy who he looks the part, but he's also playing like he's that physical guy. There's a lot of times you see a freshman or even a redshirt freshman out there. Sometimes you see it all the way to a guy's senior year. He looks like he should be really physical and just doesn't translate into whether it's a mental thing or just an execution thing. I love what we see early from Theo Johnson and really his second game where he's been able to get out there and see some expanded opportunities. You mentioned he got the start. Keandre Lambert-Smith did not get the start. They went with a two tight end set to begin the game. Also getting their first start on the other side of the ball was Marquise Wilson as a sophomore. And Sean, going through this kind of, as you said, youth movement, continue to feel better and better about what Penn State has brewing on the right side of that line. It felt like it was an area they were able to lean on in key moments today. Caden Wallace is at right tackle there. We talked to him this week. The confidence is building. That's from Trout Ryan. That's from internally how he's seeing the game now. I think they found a kid there. He said that he could play guard down the road. But when you tie in him and then the tight ends and then Parker Washington and Kevon Lee, you know, this isn't how anybody drew it up this year. You could see maybe Caden Wallace making an emergence, even if this team was playing really well. Maybe Brenton Strange or Theo Johnson proving to be a valuable asset behind Freiermuth. But even as much hype as we gave Parker Washington, did you expect him to become this consistently productive, this reliable at this stage of his career? Because I'm looking at KJ Hamler's numbers from his redshirt freshman year, his second year on campus. He had 42 catches, 754 yards, 5 touchdowns. Some quick math has me – Parker's over 30 catches already. He's over 400 receiving yards. He's at 3 touchdowns. Those numbers are going to end up being kind of similar. Maybe Parker gets him in a few categories. Hamler had a full season, and I just remember how much excitement there was about KJ as a redshirt freshman. You got losses. You got a lot of losses stacked up. You got Jahan Dotson doing his thing. I still think somehow maybe Parker Washington isn't getting enough attention here for what he's accomplished as a true freshman.
Yeah, I think there's merit to that. And I think, you know, you got to be encouraged by what you've seen from him, because he's not going to be the guy. And they've gone to him down the field at times, you know, went to him, I think, twice down the field today. But is not going to be the guy that takes the lid off of the defense. But, you know, you need those other guys around there. Washington has showed good hands. He's shown good open field, you know, movement from, you know, he's playing like a guy that you wouldn't think is a true freshman, and 30 catches for 349 yards and 3 touchdowns so far. I think that's probably exceeded what I expected from him. I mean, obviously the hopes were high, but really when you get into the game, you're not expecting him to have, and he's averaging 5 catches a game. You're not really expecting that. Keandre Lambert-Smith is a guy that's got 7 catches for 78 yards. So, you know, I think if you combine their stats, it's probably around what you expect, but it's certainly more weighted to Parker Washington, and I can see why. I mean, he's just, he's playing like a pro, and that's really the resume that he came in with. The you know, when we were scouting him, when we were talking about what he was expecting to do and talking with him about what he was expecting to do, that's kind of what he came in to do. So kudos to him. He's done a good, really good job. And, you know, let's not act like this receiving group is anything close to a finished product. But when you've got guys like Dotson making the catches he made today, Parker Washington being reliable, you don't have Pat Freiermuth, Lambert Smith could get a little bit more involved, and you'd like to see some other guys get involved. Lutz got involved today. But at the same time, you like the production you've gotten at the top of that list from Dotson and Washington.
On the other side of the ball, on the perimeter, cornerback is a spot where you continue to be missing out on Tariq Castro Fields. Third consecutive week, he was a participant for much of the pregame warmup, and then ultimately doesn't end up getting the green light to play ball. We're not sure what the deal is, and you hate to see a player trying to improve his draft stock and not getting the opportunity to get out there and make plays. Castro Fields making these trips, not getting in the game. This time around, it was Marquise Wilson. They went really shallow at cornerback today. Sean, Joey Porter Jr., as you mentioned, one of those freshman starters, as he's remained in that first team spot. And then another defender I wanted to mention who continues to show up and demand increased respect in the trenches is Akeem Beamon. There was excitement about this kid in preseason. There was even more of it when we spoke with defensive line coach John Scott Jr. A few weeks ago. And you see week in, week out, this kid looks like the makings of a starter and a guy who's going to be a really important component of what Penn State wants to accomplish up front defensively moving forward.
Yeah, he's flashing, and obviously I think they're going to need him over the next couple of years to be more of a playmaker than what you're getting right now. Michigan came out and attacked Penn State, the middle of Penn State's defense, had a lot of success with that early, which is definitely the way to go. But Beamon got in there and on some plays. He's not big on the stat sheet, but he got in there on some plays. I think you're going to see, you know, more of that working in there to try and get, try and figure out what you've got in some of those guys. We saw it with Lance Dixon today, quite a series for him where, you know, he looked kind of lost for the first couple of plays and then came in with a big tackle for loss and a really nice play on third down. So I think that's what you're going to get with some of these guys. The young corners, as you mentioned, were, you know, pretty good. Marquise Wilson obviously could work on his tackling a little bit. You'll have that, as a sophomore cornerback. Daquan Hardy forced a fumble in the fourth quarter. He got, you know, I struggle to say beat by AJ Henning, because AJ, that catch was ridiculous up over top of Hardy, but seems to be in the right spots. And that's really what you want to ask of a redshirt freshman right there. So on both sides of the ball, you know, there's certainly some promise there. And given what we've seen for a 1-5 football team, you'll certainly take that moving into the offseason.
Penn State took some counter punches today. They responded. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some issues that did pop up for the Nittany Lions today. It was not a perfect performance, but again, it was enough to get win number one of the 2020 season. We'll also give some more props to those who stepped up to help deliver this win for Penn State, and some final takeaways as we move into another Big Ten game week up ahead. Stay with us in the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
More on this Penn State victory over Michigan. It was 27-17 in a very empty Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This one leaves some different tastes in the mouth of Michigan fans and Penn State fans. It's been a bit of a spoiled dinner for them across the board here in 2020, but Penn State coming away with this with some optimism. Michigan moving forward, wondering, are they going to watch Jim Harbaugh coach their Detroit Lions? And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch if that were to take place. But the conversation you could hear today, we're not used to watching it on TV, Sean, and the conversation repeatedly, what Mike Golic Jr. talking about, NFL teams are going to talk to Harbaugh. Has it run its course in Michigan? And I felt like when it kept going back to Penn State or really what Michigan was even doing, you heard these teams are staying basic. They're not trying to do too much. They're playing within themselves. And before we get to some of the bad stuff, I want to reiterate that it really felt like that was the plan for Penn State. It felt like Sean Clifford's misses, you know, they were going out of bounds. They weren't across the middle. They were much better decision making from Clifford in terms of knowing when to get rid of the ball out of the pocket. He had one, I know for sure, that was a self-inflicted sack that it felt like he brought that upon himself. But I thought overall there was just more of an urgency to get the ball out of the pocket. Whether it resulted in an incomplete pass along the sideline, that's one thing. And when it happens in the end zone, that's a frustrating thing. But to me, it just felt like there was a more cohesive effort. It's easy to say when you don't see four turnovers in a game. But you know, before we jump into some of the bad stuff, it was just refreshing to watch the Nittany Lions be caretakers of the football, especially with Sean Clifford.
And you look at the first 5 weeks of the season, I think we've kind of echoed this throughout. The less you ask this team to think, the better they're going to play. And that's offensively, defensively, goes back to the quarterbacks as well. You know, the less that you're putting in that position to do, you know, the thinking on their own, the better results that you've had. And I think you saw that with Clifford, you know, his best performance of the year, did some things as a scrambler, just kind of asked him to go out there in schoolyard a couple of times, had a really nice completion. I think that was to Parker Washington for a big pickup on a third down on a scramble. So, I mean, the less, and I hate to oversimplify it or anything like that, but the less you ask this team to think on both sides of the ball, the more reactions you get, the more buy-in that you've get, because this is a team that really hasn't looked like, you know, and I know James has said they haven't quit and they've played hard and everything like that. This isn't a team that looks like it has played with a ton of passion. Today it seemed to get going. And if you get a little confidence, you get going in that direction, I think it can make a world of difference. And I think we saw that today. I still don't think it's a particularly good football team by any stretch of the imagination, but still, I mean, you're going to take the few wins that you can get and go with that moving forward. And I think that's what we saw today on both sides of the ball.
So yeah, as we said, not a perfect performance, not going to come easily for Penn State. There were some icky moments for Penn State, as you wrote down here in the rundown. spiking the ball with 30 seconds to go at Michigan's 5 on a first down with a timeout in your back pocket. That was one that, you know, people were feeling pretty good about Penn State. They're marching down there. They're up by 7, looking to extend the lead. And then that happens, and all of a sudden Twitter is up in arms again about the coaching staff. And you could understand this one. It was one right away where you're saying, man, is that the right call? Is that the right move? Spiking the football, it leads to 2 incomplete passes, and then you've got to send Jake Pinniger out there for a field goal. Again, first and goal from the 5-yard line. With that timeout in your back pocket, which, by the way, was still in James Franklin's back pocket as they went into the locker room.
I just got done explaining the second timeout where they would have been flagged for an illegal formation. So it's actually a good use of a timeout. And I turn around and they spike the ball. Actually, our old friend Andrew Callahan texted me. I'm obviously streaming, so I'm on a little bit of a delay. And he spiked the ball. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? As I'm watching it on the screen. But no, I don't have an answer for that. When you left points out there before the half. And, you know, honestly, when we look at this football team and what they've done this season, leaving points out there has not been the equation for them. And that's certainly a concern as you move forward. It keeps coming back around. And I think that's the biggest thing to say about these clock issues and time management issues. They keep coming back around. There's something that you can prepare for, but until you do it in the heat of battle, it's not something that you can totally simulate in a situation in practice. So that's on Franklin. That's on that team of guys that are giving him the analytics and giving him all that. What was interesting about that is I didn't actually think that Clifford got the first down before the spike. So now it could have been worse. I don't know if you caught the end of the Syracuse game. They ended it on a fourth down spike. Unfortunately, Judge Culpepper's brother, Rex, that's not an ideal finish for the Orange today. But it certainly could be worse. But you want to see
Did that really happen?
I know so you've been working.
Well, last I've seen that happen, it happened with my alma mater. So maybe that now can be a Syracuse thing.
Exercising the demons there. There you go. And you're going to be at your alma mater next week, and with Penn State. So you got to say that clock management's still an issue, very much so as Penn State. You know, if you can't just leave those points out there. Good football team will take advantage of that and turn that back around on you. Michigan almost did so, but not quite. The defense, you're still looking at a unit that I think lacks speed, and I think that starts at the linebacker play. That's something where Michigan had a lot of success, and they got away from it, to be honest with you, just from their play calling, running the ball up the middle, running at Ellis Brooks, running at Jesse Lucchetta, really struggled with that. You know, you mixed and matched with linebackers a little bit this week, maybe not as much as we thought with Curtis Jacobs not being in there as much, but with the linebacker play is still a glaring issue on this team. You're going to take some lumps with guys like Dixon, but there's certainly potential there to fly around and do some things. Dixon's another guy where you don't ask him to, you don't ask him to make the reads and everything, you know, do all kinds of complicated things. You ask him to go get the football. You do that as a blitzer. You do that as a guy that's trying to play the run. You're going to see some positive results. And we saw that with Lance Dixon today. Penalties, once again, just frustrating stuff. I mean, Jason Owe jumping off sides twice. Shaka Toney doing it later in the game. We mentioned they had one in the first half where Will Levis probably could have scored or, you know, made a good effort toward the end zone or at least picked up the first down. So these mental mistakes will kill you. I don't hold Shaka Toney's against him. I mean, that's a spur of the moment type thing, batting the ball forward versus batting it back into play. It's a thin line to walk, and you know, you can't really get on him for that. And then finally, you know, special teams. It's just been so much up and down this year. Jordan Stout did not have a great day, you know, as a punter. I think he averaged about 37 yards a punt. As a kickoff guy, you know, put one or two out of bounds, and then of course missed that field goal. Forgettable day for him. Special teams, as much of a strength as they were last year, have kind of disappeared from that angle with this 2020 team.
You talk about not getting really spark plays from the defense. They were solid today. You don't really have any spark plays from the special teams return game, but you got one from the coverage unit today with a big tip of the cap to Michigan's punt returner there. The ball ended up right in Drew Hartlob's hand, and like we predicted going in, we talked about this in the pregame show, Drew Hartlob, Isaac Lutz, really important for Penn State in this matchup at Michigan. And that was cool to see. Well-earned moment for a guy in Hartlob who does a lot of his work behind the scenes. And for the ball to pop into his hand like that, I'm sure the only thing he wishes is that he had a clear lane in front of him to sprint the rest of the way. But that set the stage for points. That was key. But Jordan Stout, it's the second time in 3 weeks this happened out in Nebraska, where in all three phases of what he's asked to do for Penn State, just wasn't getting the job done. am curious about this. It's not a question that came up in the post game, nor do I think it should have really been, but maybe something that'll be reflected on a bit in the upcoming week. Jake Pinniger, is he now like 45 and in? Because that was a 49-yard field goal. We've seen that be Pinniger's job. And then Stout's all 50 and beyond. That was not a good-looking 49-yard field goal. Missed badly wide right. And the two kickoffs out of bounds in the second half, Sean, led to opportunities for Michigan, which they were able to convert on. And this was a Michigan offense that really, really needed that short field over the course of today because they weren't able to manufacture a lot on their own. There was a moment there where I thought, this is where Penn State's going to, you know, are they going to fold up? Are they going to curl up in the fetal position and say 2020 is just not our year? After that Shaka Toney penalty for the batted ball, which looked like a huge play and ending up in the hands of Jason Away, giving Penn State possession with a two-score lead already, you thought, okay, it's Michigan now with the first down and it's this kind of rapid change that you have to comprehend emotionally and mentally if you're Penn State and going from a turnover to facing a first down. They stepped up, fourth and short. Milton, big-bodied quarterback, gets stuffed. I thought that was a nice stand for them. Again, there's a lot you can say about the Michigan offense and their shortcomings, but there's also, you know, we have to point out that Penn State had to stop them in those situations if they wanted us to be talking about them in the light of a victory today, and they were able to do that, and ultimately the Penn State offense was able to drive and milk the clock, and that turned to be the proving point. I think the defense not breaking after that call reversal, because you could see maybe getting in their heads and just having that self doubt and saying 2020 is not our year, and then some kind of back breaking play delivered. I think that was also when McNamara went back to the sideline and Milton checked back in, so it was a weird moment for Michigan too, Sean. But I thought that stood out to me. It showed that this program was ready to maybe close the book on Michigan, and I wasn't sure if they were ready to close the book on anybody this season.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it was a great stand. It's just kind of the one that if you watch Penn State this year, you really didn't expect them to make, and that's certainly a credit to those guys that stepped up. I go back a little bit further. I'm most impressed with that drive when Michigan got to within three. They take it 12 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, there's not many candidates out there. Is that the best drive of the year? Very possible, because that wins you that game. Then they roll it over. They do that 4-minute offense where they run out the clock. So, I mean, you're looking at, I guess I kind of forget how the game flow got away, you know, but you look at what Michigan came out in the second half and tried to do. You know, you held them to three at the first part. You know, they did get the touchdown eventually, but you've got a second half that was fairly dominated by Penn State, and, you know, it not in the turnover category, not in the overall category, but, you know, they closed it out when they had to do that. And that's certainly something that watching this team, you wouldn't have expected.
No doubt. And you know, Jake Pinniger connects on a couple short field goals that keeps you maintaining things. And ultimately Levis gives you that 10-point advantage with 8 minutes left coming in as the goal line back. And that was that drive where you score with about 8 minutes left in the game and you have that 10-point lead. And against Michigan, the way they've been clicking on offense or lack thereof, you feel pretty good about that 10-point advantage at that stage of the game. Those are those two third down passes to Jahan Dotson. You had a 24-yard run from Kevon Lee that put him over 100 for the day. And by the time you got to the spot where you had a 10-point lead, you had to make this stop. That was where Penn State made the 4th-and-1 stop on the rush attempt, their own 37-yard line. That was about 5:30 left in the game. And like you said, you give the ball back to the offense. You say, hey, can you keep our defense off the field? Can you go run some with Kevon Lee and get us to the finish line? And they were able to do that. So the defense made the stand it needed to make. The Penn State offense had the kind of ensuing possession that it really required to keep that pressure off its defense. And that's the complimentary football, Sean, that we have not discussed very much here in 2020 on the postgame podcast. And going back to Kevon Lee real quick, I know we both have talked very highly about Devin Ford. Our thoughts go out to him because this is a family situation that popped up, and we don't know where he is medically. But I think regardless of where Devin Ford is mentally, physically coming back, Kevon Lee has warranted a much longer look over this final stretch of the 2020 season.
And he did so by holding on to the football. I mean, that's the thing that you worry about when you put those guys out there. It's taking care of the football, and it's pass protection. And, you know, obviously from what Penn State did today, I thought they played within their you know, played within their system, played within the potential of their system, because, you know, Clifford obviously has turned the ball over a couple of times, but you haven't asked too much of those freshman running backs because of that. So I like what he was able to do. I think he did deserve or does deserve a bigger share moving forward. I think you got comfortable with having him in there, and, you know, he runs hard, he falls forward, he does a lot of the things that you asked Noah Cain to do. Maybe doesn't have that same kind of burst, but at the same time, I mean, that's kind of the curve that we're grading on for everyone right now. You're not going to have everything that you thought you would in that 2020 season. But, you know, you've got it closing out on the road at Michigan, and it's certainly something that you're going to take. So I agree with you 100%. I think he should be back out there. I think his style kind of fits a little bit better with what they're asking, you know, from the run game. And maybe that's a positive for Devin Ford, because you could see Devin Ford fitting into that role that they asked Isaiah Holmes to play a little bit today with, you know, catching the football out of the back field, moving around a little bit and maybe not doing that as much inside zone. So thought it was great. Thought that that's kind of exactly what Penn State fans probably really wanted to see from a guy like Kevon Lee. And I think, you know, Kevon Lee, by the way, going back to our scouting report in the offseason, is a kid that really hasn't lifted all that much. So I'm interested to see him get stronger as he continues to go. I think he can get faster as well. So certainly a lot of potential there. You're down to your fourth and fifth guys, but your fourth and fifth guys got you a win on the road at Michigan. I think you'll certainly take that.
It's been a long time since Kevon Lee was told, hey, you're the guy for us at running back. And that's the way this one developed over the course of it. He earned more opportunities as the game progressed, and he didn't play his senior year of high school. He was not playing football last fall. So you've got to go back a couple years to where Kevon Lee was kind of a focal point offensive figure, and he took that and ran with it today at Michigan, to the delight of Penn State fans. Sean, one other younger name I wanted to get to, and you wanted to get to as well before we turn the page. We mentioned a lot of younger names. He's not a freshman, but I feel like Juice Scruggs is kind of a redshirt freshman. That's almost how I view him, because he spent last year going through the process of getting back. He was a freshman in 18, got in one game last year, didn't play in any games, rehab process. We're starting to see more of him over the course of this 2020 season. It's got to feel great for him and for this coaching staff to see him out there. You look on our front page on Lions 24/7, there is Juice Scruggs jumping up and celebrating after Sean Clifford's go-ahead touchdown run in the second quarter. You think he's going to keep popping up more and more?
Well, I mean, here's where we're at with Juice Scruggs. We came into the year celebrating that he would even be on that field, and that's in the past right now. That's something that, you know, is fantastic in its own right. But at the same time, now you're talking about, okay, can he unseat one of these guards? And I think he has the potential to do so. I also think he's probably going to be your center next year. So you want to get him out there, get some experience. And he looked, you know, I haven't gone back and done this, a second look at the offensive line. But every time you're out there, you're getting a big gain. You see number 70 out in front of you. You got to feel good about where you stand from that. So I'm excited to see him continue his progress. Obviously, he's not the player that, you know, he's probably not at his physical capabilities of where we thought he could be before the accident. But at the same time, I mean, you're going to take what you can get. If this is a kid that can, you know, move into your lineup, he's still got freshman eligibility. He can move into your lineup and be there for a couple of years. I think that can certainly go a long way, especially at center or guard. So I'm encouraged with what we've seen from Juice Scruggs. Happy as hell to have him out there just as a human element. But to see him out there, to see him moving people is certainly a promising going forward.
One other note that I didn't want to just let go, Taquan Roberson, didn't see him on the field today, but we did see him in uniform. That was a change of pace from recent weeks when he was unavailable. James Franklin, again, taking some time this week to say that he is impressed off the field. They had hoped to have him available the last couple weeks. He was. Clifford Levis did not give Kirk Shiraka and James Franklin a reason to go give that long look and the football over to their number three quarterback today. But it sounds like Taquan Roberson, whatever was ailing him, is no longer ailing him. And that may matter as we go forward with a few more games on the schedule. Rutgers is up next. This is a win that you just have to imagine it'll feel great to go into a week. We already heard James Franklin say they're going to have their Monday dinner victory, and it may be the most delicious meal he ever has in his life. There's a lot of excitement, but I think it's really going to be the difference is going to be felt when you're reviewing film of a win, when you're doing self-criticism after a win, when you can apply after a win to the end of all these things you got to accomplish in the upcoming week. It's a nice change of pace for a Penn State team that needed a change of pace, perhaps more than any other program in America.
And you're not changing that number in the loss column. And, you know, it is, I guess, a wasted year or whatever. But, you know, if you can go out on a high note, it's certainly going to help with recruiting. It's certainly going to help with your team morale going into the offseason. Big Ten has been so fluky this year.
I wasn't sure where you were going with the long F, because I would have understood it. It has been really freaking crazy. Yeah,
I caught myself there. it's been just so crazy this year. You're not sure when you turn around and move to the 2021 season how much you weigh the 2020 season into it and what you got. But you know, if you can, I guess we talked about it last week with Trent Gordon entering the portal. If you can, you know, avoid that situation that you had a couple of years ago where you've got some sort of mass exodus, you can get everybody back on the same page. You can get everybody feeling good about themselves, and winning will certainly help do that. You're certainly making strides in the right direction. Now, don't want to get too high on a win over a bad Michigan team, but it is a win in the Big Ten this year, which, you know, obviously has not been easy to come by for Penn State. It's on the road. It's at a place that you haven't had a ton of success with, and you've got a winnable schedule moving forward with Rutgers and Michigan State. So there is some sort of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. You've got to carry this over. As I mentioned, Rutgers plays very hard. And that's, you know, it's part of where they're at talent-wise, but it's part of where they're at coaching-wise, because those guys believe in Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano has already probably exceeded expectations. I don't know, you're the Rutgers alum. I think you're probably the heavier barometer on that. But he's been able to get those guys to believe in what they're doing. There's going to be trick plays. There's going to be some crazy stuff that's going to go on in Piscataway next week. Penn State, as the more talented team, should try to figure out how to handle all that kind of stuff. And as we mentioned, you know, try and keep themselves from overthinking it and getting them into a hole that they dig themselves. So very big game next week in Piscataway. Don't know that I've ever said that too much to begin with, but here we are. This is 2020. This is what happens. I had to get my last cheap shot in there as I see you looking around. But no, it's going to be very interesting to see how Penn State can try to parlay this momentum that they get from the win today.
We'll talk about this again, but I remember the first big game opportunity in Piscataway when Penn State came to town. James Franklin's first Big Ten game, first Penn State game, if memory serves me correct, in the conference, and it was Rutgers' Big Ten debut, and it was a matchup that was really hanging in the balance. Christian Hackenberg, a sophomore at the time, ended up leading a late comeback, and from then on further, it was downhill in this matchup for Rutgers versus Penn State. But new sheriff, the old sheriff back in town there. It'll be an interesting matchup, more interesting than of late, to talk about the Scarlet Knights and the Penn State Nittany Lions. And I think you're exactly right. Stack up these wins late if you can. Build some momentum in whatever way you can, whether it's collectively as a team, that's very important. That's going to matter for recruiting. But I think collectively in these positional units, when you look at a group with Phil Troutwine, when you look at the wide receiver group led by Taylor Stubblefield, John Scott, a defensive line coach, even some of your veterans, it's important to continue to develop momentum in each of those position rooms. You're starting to see some of that youth take off in some of these groups. That doesn't really equate to good things for veterans in that room, but you got to focus in on your development right now for Penn State. I don't think it's about trying to get to the Cheez-It Bowl or the Belk Bowl or whatever bowl is left standing at the end of this thing. It is about, you know, going out of this season far better than the way you entered it, and this is a step in the right direction. And if you've been looking for a step in the right direction, you've been searching for a while. So take that, put it in your back pocket, get those Thanksgiving leftovers, finish them off, and then another game week coming up. And we'll be back with two more episodes, Sean and I, leading up to that Rutgers matchup. Of course, the post-game podcast next week as well. Until then, plenty of content coming your way. Mark Brennan did a great job with coverage in Ann Arbor today. A lot on Lions247.com. I encourage you to check out all of it. The post-game player conferences, the post-game press conference with James Franklin, and a bunch of commentary as well. For now, on behalf of Sean Fitz, thanks as always for listening to the Lions 24/7 post-game podcast.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.